TGIF crew, what is happening on a Friday evening with everybody? Doing good out there, I hope. Ready for the weekend. Just so you know, I'm missing out on ribs and sausage and all that good stuff right now because I got a few bites and then had to run off to do the show here. So that's how much I love you tonight. We are live here on the YouTubes as usual. And also simulcast over where the cool kids hang out over on gunchannels.com. Speaking of those cool kids, look like maybe DT Viper hanging out over that way. Iowa 45 in the house over there. The pants is out there. Scott, potatoes, and lead out there as well. Let me go ahead and drop the link to Gun Channels here on the on the YouTube side for everybody. And we'll also do that here in the short future as well. I'm sure we'll do that again. Tonight we're going to be talking with Jeremy from Phoenix Weaponry. So let me do something real quick with that. And let me throw the website link out there on both sides for Phoenix Weaponry, because some of you may want to look that up. And I just lost the link. Well, that's what happens sometimes. I think I need a new mouse. I'm beginning to think that's what my problem is. But, yeah, here we go. I got it now. We should be good. Drop that link.
You know, if you put some cheese and crackers out at night, you'll catch a mouse for you for free.
No. This one here, he's old and decrepit, apparently. And it may just be batteries. I don't know. And grab one more thing right here. Well, I've got it. Give me 1 second. Yeah, no, great. Live TV is awesome. Yeah, always. So, yeah, I'm going to grab a hashtag here. Whoops, said it was, if I can find it. Because as we said, we talked about it on Wednesday, it is National Shooting Sports Month. So letsgoshooting.org. It's a spinoff from the NSSF, right? And they've got some sweepstakes and stuff going on over there. So get over to letsgoshooting.org, check that out. And then if you get out to the range or whatever, be sure to tag all that stuff, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Now even on YouTube you can tag, and it puts them up on the above the title, which is really cool. But tag that stuff with let's go shooting, hashtag let's go shooting, I should say. So yeah, David Belling says, did I know ghosts before YouTube? No, actually I did not. We've told that story before, but Ghost and I actually met up in a do I really want to say the channel name at this point?
I mean, it's called Fish Break.
Yeah, we met up in Fish Breaks. Yeah, so I think we both were making fun of him, and it was impressive, and just kind of went from there. So, yeah, speaking of all of that and the folks out there in the chat, let's hit on that YouTube side real quick. Say hi to everybody. Remember that if you're out there listening, watching, whatever the case may be, and you don't type in the chats, then we don't know you're there. We certainly want to say hi. We want to answer questions, and of course we'll get those questions into any of the guests we have on as well. It's always better to tag somebody. That means you use the at symbol and put their name in there, and it will kind of highlight it. We'll be able to see it that way. User was out there. He was the first one in. The rocker Ozzy was in the house as well fairly early. So was Scott. Guns and Glory was out there early as well. And then Mad Sexy popped in. He's out there too. And then scrolling down from the land down under, we got Vandalistica out there. So what is up, Vandal? The Mohawk Boy, Midnight Range TM's out there. Music Lover, the Chat Daddy, the Tack Daddy is out there. David Bolin, of course, is out there. Chevelle's with us. Ozark's out there in the house, it looks like, as well. Einstein, Mr. General Relativity, making it in. Georgia Trucker, probably on the road, but out there nonetheless. Did I say Music Lover? I think I already said Music Lover. Guitar Man Pete is out there. The Boss, Casino Boss with us. Rob D, is out there. Several other ones that I may or may not have missed, like Mel the Nut. So what is happening? And yeah, let's kick this thing into another gear. Kind of get things started. Remember, you got questions as we're moving along, throw them out there. Is what it's all about. Got a couple of familiar faces in the house to kind of help me out, help me moderate the chat, look for questions, that sort of thing. The Tactical Chicken just jumped in. Mr. Gizzard, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for the invite. Sorry I was so slow. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my computer. I had to switch over to the iPad to get in here. So.
Oh, okay. It's probably because you use the hunt and peck method.
No, my mouse froze up all of a sudden. I don't know what the deal is.
It's mouse troubles tonight. I don't get it. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. And Ghost is in the house with us. What's up?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Bet. Anytime. So, yeah, without further ado, again, I got the link out there. We have Jeremy from Phoenix Weaponry. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you for the invite.
You bet. And let's kick this thing off. I mean, there may be quite a few people. I'm not going to lie to you. I was not familiar with Phoenix Weaponry before, you know, we kind of started talking the last couple of weeks or so. But, you know, you guys do some cool things. So if you would, maybe a little bit of history about the company, you know, where it all started and, you know, how it grew and what you guys do now. Just kind of a little quick story about the history.
Oh, too easy. So Aaron Casey has been machining for about 30-some years. And he came over from places like Iron Ridge, Shadow Ops, stuff like that. All of those designs were his. So about 5 years ago, he split off and he took the master gunsmith, it would be Jim Majan, along with him. Now myself, I came from places like G&G Guns, Gunsmoke. I'm sure you guys have all seen him on TV. And that was about 4 years ago I came over this way. So we started in this. Started with ARs, moved ourselves up to AKs, suppressors, NFA items, pretty much anything you guys can think of, from short barrel, long barrel, doesn't matter what it is. Now we're on to manufacturing 1911s. That actually starts next week. So that's kind of a brief history about where and how we came from here.
Right. Now the whole 1911, I mean, did you guys see a demand? Was there a demand for that? Or was that, you know, with the people that maybe had bought the rifles or stuff previously? Was that something that you wanted to get into? You thought you could do it better?
Well, there's always I can do it better, and which is the whole reason I started in on the shop there. It's taken us about 4 years to get to that point. But everyone who buys one of my rifles asks us about our pistols. Can you do this? Can you? And we're on that custom side. We want to be able to get something that's good, that's reasonably priced. And I think that's kind of where we were, the whole reason for that.
Mm. Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, some of the ones I won't get behind 1911 stuff, but everybody out there is probably aware of what I'm talking about, and they are proud of those.
Yep.
Of course, you know, with a 1911, and I'm sure with what you guys have plans to do is probably the same way. There's an awful lot of attention and time and care, you know, that goes into that. So sometimes I would think being able to do it a little bit cheaper and still devote that kind of time. I mean, that's something that I don't know, from a management standpoint, it's got to be fairly difficult to balance, right?
It is. It's extremely difficult. And we just spent the last 2 weeks working on basically cost. What can we do this for? What is it going to, how much time is involved in this, and can it be a viable product? See, for us, everything is, I guess the best way to describe it is we're kind of a boutique. You come in, you give us your specs, and we build to that, to what that is right there. We're moving to that production line, and we'll take Kimber, for example, where all of their production pistols, you know, and not to say anything against Kimber, but the quality control has gone down so much.
Sure.
And I understand it. You know, the bean counters come in, they want to make a little bit more profit. I get it. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. And that's going to happen when you start getting into a mass production scale, you know.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of us, there's several out there of us that were reading about, you know, handguns, pistols when Glock came on the scene, you know, and how they pretty much just destroyed everybody. And the reason they did is because of the manufacturing process.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's that, I mean, that holds true. I mean, if you could just crank stuff out, and especially if it's something reliable, you know, right? Nice and reliable. I mean, you can, you know, but it's not going to be the same, like I said, as that one that you've really sunk a lot of time and attention into.
Right.
Those are almost works of art. You got to put those in a totally separate category. And ultimately, you know, when it's said and done, I think that's why people pay the big bucks for, you know, the boutique stuff like you're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, the bread and butter for you guys, I was looking around on the Instagrams for y'all, and seems to be that 4570. That's really an interesting one. I noticed that you're in quite a few magazines that you've gotten in with that one.
Yes.
How did that one come about? What's the story behind that?
Well, it's been a concept for about 10 years. And the goal was to stuff as heavy of a caliber as we absolutely could into that. And between Jim Majan and Aaron Casey here, they were able to make that happen about a year ago. And about a year and a half, really. And that's where that came from. Ever since Aaron had fired his first 45-70 in an old Henry, that's all he could think about was putting that into an AR. Made that happen.
Right. Now that for the folks out there that don't know about that, that's a 45-70 auto, right?
It is. And basically what that is what we've done is we've taken an old 45-70 government and we've cut an extractor groove on it so that you can have auto ejection on it. And that was the whole point of it. Once you cut that down, and a lot of guys are talking that it's a rebated case. It's not a rebated case. It's just an extractor groove. The extractor groove, once it's been cut, is basically the same size as a 308 bolt head. So what we've done is taken a obsolete cartridge and then made it something modern. Mm-hmm. We've got guys like Nosler who are getting ready to pick up the contract to mass produce that. So you'll be able to find them out on the shelves. Things like that.
Right. Right. Yeah, because I was doing some reading and it was like, well, yeah, you can, something like that. You guys offered some type of a kit if you had a lathe, which everybody has a lathe in their garage. Come on.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, that could be, that's kind of a niche thing right now. So that's awesome to hear that some companies are going to pick up on it. Now, something that comes to mind, just because I'm a big fan of the caliber, and that's the 458 SOCOM. I know that it come on the scene, and I'm kind of snobby when it comes to a suppressor and stuff like that. That's what I like about my 458 SOCOM. I like heavy, slow, you know, within reason, quiet.
Right.
It's such a big diameter. It's kind of hard to get. You're not going to get movie quiet for sure. But as compared to that 458 SOCOM, I would think you're going to get a lot more punch out of that 4570 auto, right?
You are. And in fact, we're moving on a 310 grain bullet, almost 2,700 feet per second and about 4,000 pounds at the muzzle.
Wow.
And wow. I mean, she's a heavy hitter.
That's
and of course, no, go ahead.
I was gonna say, that's a pig rifle for sure.
Yes, it is. In fact, not this past spring, but the spring before, they did go out and did some pig hunting with it. Took down a 350 pound hog. I wish I could tell you the distance on that, but I'm pretty sure they told me, and I just don't remember what it is at the moment.
Right.
Now, if you notice, that 4570 is suppressed. That is one of my suppressors on there. No hearing protection needed, even, you know, doing 4,000 pounds at the muzzle right there.
Right.
She's definitely not movie quiet, but you can go out and shoot and your ears are just fine.
Well, with have y'all done any testing suppressed and trying to run, you know, large grain or heavy grain subsonic with those?
We are, and all of the load data will be coming out very, very quickly.
Okay.
And it's coming.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, when you're dealing with that, and these are direct impingement, right?
Yes.
You know, you've got an issue to where you've got to have the, you know, it's got to be able to cycle, right?
So, yes.
And then with that 4570, you know, because the case is not cut down, correct? I mean, it's
it's full length case.
Okay, other than the modification to the rim. So, yeah, you've got that volume. And so that's an interesting concept as somebody who does a lot of subsonic stuff. It's an interesting concept to think about having the kind of volume in a 4570 case and then having to try to work up something where it would cycle an AR action and that sort of stuff. Back pressure with a suppressor obviously is going to help that, but it's not a key giveaway. Ghost, Gizzard, either one of you want to jump in here?
Oh. I was just, you know, we were talking pre-show and the 4570 obviously seems to be the big dog right now. And, you know, have you guys, how do I put this? The sexy caliber this year is a 6.5 Creed. Yes. Have y'all thought about jumping into that game, or are you going to, you know, wait to see if it's going to withstand time or not?
Well, we've built a few with that too, along with the Six Creeds, the Grindles. We get a lot of requests for all of those, all the way down, in fact, to Nosler contracted us out last year for the new 22 Nosler. We built a rifle just right around that round just to do that. So they're there. We build them consistently.
What about the, now I know Clover and I, we've talked a lot of times lately about the Valkyrie, 224 Valkyrie, and the twist rates kind of not necessarily being figured out yet. Have y'all done any testing with the Valkyrie to see if, you know, you guys can make that work?
No, we haven't yet. In fact, there was a discussion that I was having with Jim Majan probably 2 or 3 days ago. Somebody had requested one, and we're not even sure if the build is going to go through yet or not. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of question of, you know, twist rates, you know, what are we going to be able to, how far are we going to be able to push this?
Right.
Well, see, I think Clover, you know, I think that's the biggest issue with that is until they kind of get the twist rates down and the different weights and projectiles down, does anyone really kind of know what the limits of the Valkyrie is right now?
My understanding is no, nobody has any real data on it.
Yeah, I was wondering because, I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of manufacturers really manufacturing platforms based around the Valkyrie yet. And I wonder, since you guys are in that game, you know, is that something that everyone's kind of waiting to see for the first person to get out there and see how it goes? Or how does that, when a new caliber, not necessarily a new caliber, but a caliber that comes out that hasn't been manufactured a whole lot, you know, how do you guys look at that? Do you wait and see if some of the other companies come out and try to improve on what they're doing, or, you know, is it an arms race to see who can get the first product out there, or how does that work?
For us, no. When something new comes out, naturally we all take a look to see, you know, what, you know, who's doing what with it, what's going on. But like the 4570, where, you know, these are concepts that we had ourselves. Until somebody really kind of requests one from us, we don't spend a lot of time with it. Our energy is usually spent better on doing stuff like that 4570 or that little bullpup we were discussing before the pre-show here.
Yeah, that thing sounds awesome.
And it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Now, we got a question out there from David Bowling, Jeremy. He says, and I may rephrase this just a little bit, but if somebody was to come to you wanting one of the custom rifles or whatever, he says, does somebody with the company work with them on the state laws, or you know, is it their responsibility to know all that before they ever even contact you?
No, we'll work with the customer on that one too. We get guys calling from California all the way to Rhode Island, and we can set the rifles up for whatever specific that they need, and we'll spend that time. The big thing that we do is education over here. So we try to figure out as many laws as we possibly can. So, you know, everybody knows you got to have a bullet button for California, right? That one's pretty easy. Right. But there's some obscure ones out there that we spend a lot of time researching that and making sure that not only can we build this rifle, but we can get it shipped out to you. You can pick it up at a local FFL and be able to go do what you want to do with it.
Now, we've got... Who was it? Unknown user was asking what on the Yvette model. Which is the which one is that?
That's the 308, isn't it?
Yeah.
308. Okay. 308 pistol, I think is what user was saying. So he's out there on the website apparently. What's MSRP on something like that? He was asking.
I'm going to have to look at the MSRPs. I don't have them right in front of me, but I'm kind of thinking being the 308, it's just probably, depending on what you want to be, between 45 and 55, depending on glass and suppressor and some of the little upgrades on that. And of course, and if I'm thinking of vet properly here, I don't think she's a pistol. I think she's an SBR.
Ah, okay.
We can definitely do it in pistol, but doing a pistol in a 308 or 308 size,
that can be brutal.
A little complicated. Yeah, it's a little complicated, and she's not fun to hold on to.
And we've got another one out here. Where was it? Run it up here. Guitar Man Pete. I was asking, have you guys done anything with the 2545 Sharps?
No, we have not.
That seems to be I don't know. I don't want to say popular, but it's definitely getting some popularity. That's one that kind of come out of nowhere.
It did.
I don't see any other questions out there right now. So, Gizzard, you want to jump in here? You got any questions?
No, I really don't. I'm not much of a rifle guy to ask any intelligent questions, so I'll just stay silent at this point.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
That's truth.
So have you got any, with long range competition, I guess, and some of the different things like that, are there folks out there using your stuff?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there are, and, of course, along with my local shooters, but we've got a national guy who just stopped by this afternoon. It's the first time I've met him here. Jim and I did shotgun work for him. He's a three-gun shooter. They're kind of new on the national circuit. So his first comp is going to be on Sunday out here in Colorado. And I didn't get a lot of information on that. Now, as far as long-range shooters like the F-class guys, we do build a lot of those, but Jim Majan builds most of those.
Right.
And I'm not real familiar with those guys.
Okay.
That's fine. Hey, David Boland's got a question out there, Clover. He wants to know if you guys can customize the twist rates?
No, we don't cut any of those. So... most of those twist rates, most of our barrels come from Obermeyer. Okay. Obermeyer is a personal friend of my master smith. So whatever we decide we're going to do or what the customers request, we'll get those blanks in from Obermeyer and we'll have them cut for whatever that twist rate is. Now, here's the reason we don't do that is a rifling lathe is absolutely, it's huge. And it would take up probably about 3/4 of the shop that we have over here. And the one I saw would only do a 20-inch barrel. So that's partially why we don't do that.
Right. Guns and Glory out there, he's asking which one of the rifles that, the production, I guess, standards that you have, would you recommend for a 1,000-yard plus rifle?
The Lexi is the way to go. Or, well, it'd be the Sarah version, excuse me. The Sarah version on that, I built one for one of my competition guys over here. He's getting 1,000 yards out of a 223.
Wow.
Now, I'm not telling. Yeah.
Really?
I tell you what, I can't get behind this rifle and do this specifically. But I know he's lobbing them in there. He's definitely hitting on there. So really any of my billet uppers or lowers would be the way to go on that. Let's put it that way.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, we've got all of these girly names, so I've got to ask this. What was the thinking behind that?
They're all named after
a random thought in the boardroom one day that you ran with? Or
these are all ex-girlfriends or what?
Right. Close. They're all wives and daughters of everybody in the shop.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. All,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's it.
So with you said the barrels there are outsourced. What do you guys do as far as the machining and the production in house?
So they come in as barrel blanks, all depending on what size. So basically, like my 4570s come in and they're 1.5 to 2 inches, and then they're cut, profiled, chambered, threaded, the whole kit.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we spend quite a bit of time on that.
Right.
There's kind of particulars when you're profiling or when you're cutting a barrel down there. Heat is a huge issue with them. If you cut too fast, they'll start warping, things like that. Jim has been cutting barrels for, I would bet, easily 50 years. He's been around for a long, long time. So there's some particulars on that.
Gotcha. What about the other components? Are there any other? How much of the rifle, I guess, is what I'm getting at, is actually made in house?
Everything pretty well, except for the bolt carrier group, and most of those we get from Sharps.
Okay, gotcha. Right. So, I mean, y'all do. I guess y'all. That means y'all do custom rails and some things like that, or
we do custom rails, hand guards, even triggers, wow. Hammers. We cut all of those in-house. We go all the way down to safeties to every one of our pins. Now, naturally, the springs, we can make them in-house, but those are better outsourced by, like, Wolf, something like that.
Right. Yeah, somebody that
set up to do it consistently, so.
Yeah, somebody that produces on a much larger scale a lot of times. And that's what, I don't ask that question as a gotcha, because that's, I think most people understand that. A company out there that makes good springs and that's all they make, it's obviously going to be advantageous for you to outsource to them rather than spend all the time. Because ultimately that affects the bottom line on the cost of the rifle, which affects the retail cost of the rifle. So,
yeah, exactly.
It kind of all plays into it. So, that's pretty neat. So when you say boutique, you weren't kidding. I mean, pretty much however you want it. Casino Boss out there, he's got a good one. It's a softball question. Well, I say that it may be difficult to choose. He says, what's your favorite build that y'all have done?
Our favorite, my favorite field?
Your favorite build.
Oh, my favorite build. Above my machine guns right there, my favorite is the 4570. And it's one of my... I love shooting that gun. It's just hard to explain unless you're behind it. But that one is my favorite one. We did the wood on that. I'm an old school guy. I like my blue. I like my woods, stuff like that. And it was fun to do.
Now, Vandalistica out there, he's saying he can't see. So I can't see that one on the website. I don't know which one he's talking about. So,
I think he was talking about the Sarah. Maybe.
Okay, that's interesting.
But he's also down in Australia, so they might have.
I could have it blocked. Yeah,
they might have it censored down there.
That's true. We're right. Gonna go with that. You're being censored, Vandal. Unfortunately, might have to contact the Australian government down there. And but now, are there pictures on the Instagram or somewhere? Should there be, Jeremy, of that one?
There should be. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So we can get out there and hopefully find some. There's a lot of chatter out there, guys wanting free stuff. Man, come on. He's not going to give all the moderators out there a free rifle to try out. That's not going to happen. You know that.
And I wouldn't trust half these guys with guns in their hands. Just saying. I'm just joking.
Now, Armament Axis jumped in. Mandel says he only gets the redacted versions of the websites. It's hilarious. But Armor and Axis out there was, he's talking about his, but you know, this kind of brings up a point. The, I've seen, can't remember where I've seen it, but there is a company out there, I think that makes, I don't know how good it is, that makes, a rifle in 30-06. As far as stuff like that, maybe 300 Win Mag, some of those things, is that stuff that y'all have played around with before?
Well, we are working on a larger receiver for those 338 Lapua in larger sizes.
Oh, yeah.
Along with that, we are working on our pistol size, which is about 250 thousandths smaller than what an AR-15 would be, taking like Log Mags, Colt Mags, something like that. Now, those are all in our testing phases right now. We want to see what we can stuff in them, what our failure rates are, things like that, before we even start debuting anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And what's the testing procedure when y'all are doing it? I mean, do y'all have a certain amount of rounds that you put through?
Actually, anytime we decide we're going to build something like that, we build it into a machine gun first.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's the first thing we do is we take it out to the range and put as many as we can. Exactly.
Right. Right.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Why not?
Exactly.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. You know, that's, I don't know. We may have to. Wow. That's crazy. Let's see what else we've got. Oh, Casino Boss here was asking. Any idea where the MSRP is on that 4570?
Yeah, MSRP on that is 48 for the production model, and then for the custom, it's going to be closer to 7,500.
Wow,
and that's without suppressor and glass and all of that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, yep, got all the extra. So now that we're talking about the, we brought up the suppressors. That's a pretty good segue to move into that. How long have y'all been doing that sort of stuff?
We have been producing suppressors. Again, Aaron's been cutting for a long, long time, but he's come over from Iron Ridge and Shadow Ops over there, and they had all of that kind of stuff. That's where that first suppressor design, I think he told me it was maybe 15 years ago he designed that one. Mm-hmm. And finally came into full production about 5 years ago.
Right. So anything groundbreaking or different about those?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, with our suppressors, it's basically three parts, and they come apart, so they're easily cleanable. Maintenance is just beautiful on them. Absolutely beautiful. I've got a can in the shop that we run on one of my, in fact, it's on a Sarah. And we got probably closer to about 30,000 rounds on it. Mm-hmm. And we've mic'd it out. There's no issues with it. We're not losing baffles. We're not losing size. It's just absolutely perfect.
Wow, awesome. And what kind of
material?
Noise are we talking about? Noise reduction?
No hearing protection is needed. Gotcha. And I mean, that's full auto. I mean, you let it go and you can stand right next to it and there's no ringing, no nothing.
Yeah, you don't get the
ringing. No, exactly. And I'm not telling you it's movie quiet, but there's no such thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some, but it's low development. It has nothing to do with the can or the rifle or whatever. It's all in low development. That is pretty close to movie quiet, but, yeah, most of the stuff that you see out there, you know, people are just going to shoot. They're typically shooting supersonic through it, right?
Yep, exactly.
And it's just, there's no way for it to be movie quiet at that point.
Exactly.
So my next question, and you pretty much answered it, was the suppressors, and I guess they're full auto rated.
Yep. As a matter of fact, they are. And we do them in, you know, for our rim fires, you know, we're going to do them in aluminum, and then our pistols we can do in aluminum just because of the amount of pressure that we have. But pretty much any of your heavy calibers, your rifle calibers, are going to jump up to at least stainless steel. We can do them in titanium. Titanium will take almost a full pound off the weight of the suppressor. Absolutely beautiful.
Right. Now the Rich White out there, going back onto the barrel thing, he said that there's a lot of custom shops now that are into these carbon fiber barrels. Have y'all dove into that any at all?
We've had a few come through. We don't play with them so often, and one of the issues is that when they're putting that carbon fiber on, they have a tendency to expand just slightly, meaning that you're trying to put on a gas block, a 750 gas block, something to that effect, and the carbon fiber is moved out to 780, 785. And then, of course, you get it onto your, you know, to your actual barrel, onto the steel, and it's just too large to sit on it. Hmm. So it makes a few issues with that. But yeah. As far as accuracy goes, we haven't spent a lot of time playing with them for heat reduction, things like that.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Now, there's a user out there is asking about rimfire stuff. Any, y'all offer anything there, or are there plans for it if not?
Not yet. We haven't decided anything for any rimfire stuff yet.
Okay. Didn't know if that was maybe a... something, you know, I know you were talking about the pistols and some other stuff in the future. So,
And that might be something we'll be looking into, because everybody's doing, you know, specialty kits that you get in there, and they're not fun to play with either. And they always look weird no matter what you're doing.
Right.
And I've seen some that are pretty poor where they're using, you know, double sided tape to stick on the inside of the mag well. I'm like, wow, this is lovely.
Right. All right. Yeah. Ghost, you got anything you want to jump in?
I got a couple. One of them is mine, and one of them was Midnight Range TMs. It's kind of a lighthearted question. Mm-hmm. This goes back to the names of the wives and daughters. Now, don't take any offense to this, but the question was, if someone breaks up with one of their wives, would y'all consider changing the names?
Yeah, I think that would happen, actually.
Oh, really? That's funny. My actual legitimate question was, is I know you guys are talking about ordering and talking to the customer about customizing as much as you can. What kind of customizations can you offer to a customer if they want to, you know, start a build from scratch? Are there aftermarket stuff that you can put into there, or is it more customizing colors, or what exactly can you guys customize for them?
It is, and we are a full service shop. When I talk about the, you know, we're general gunsmiths, custom manufacturers, that means everything.
So you could literally build a one of a kind rifle.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we can do there. From one off parts to obsolete parts, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever your specs are, it can be done there. The best way to put it is we're pretty well just limited to your imagination and your pocketbook. That's it.
Would you, that's pretty awesome. So if it's someone, let's say they want to drop in trigger from a certain manufacturer, you guys could incorporate that into the build if you wanted to, or would you guys machine your own trigger that's similar to whatever brand that is?
All depending on what the customer would like to have. If he has a particular brand or a particular thing that he wants to have in there, we can do that. We're not limited
to awesome.
Working our own stuff here. Whatever you want to do, we can do it.
Well, that's interesting, because there are a lot of manufacturers that obviously can't and won't offer that. So you're talking about having a 100% from muzzle to stock custom rifle. And you could literally do whatever you need to do with it. That's an offering that very few manufacturers give. That's pretty awesome.
817. I just want to shout out to 817. He threw in Buck99 super chat out there. Thank you, sir. He's providing my.
I'm call it the Pepsi chat.
He's providing my Pepsi for the night. Yeah, apparently.
Nice.
Which is always awesome. Gizzard, you got anything?
Well, I do have a quick question here. I was looking on the website at the defensive carbines, and I see one out here named Trouble. I want to know which one of your wives this is named after, and do they
That sounds more like a kid.
it is, but that particular rifle was built for Aaron Casey, the boss's wife.
Oh.
So everything about that has been balanced for a female profile.
Oh.
It's a beautiful rifle to shoot. That was for Aaron's wife.
So if there's someone out there whose wife or girlfriend or daughter is looking to get into their first AR, that one is built specifically and designed specifically for females. Is that what you said?
That's it. Exactly.
That's incredible. That's great.
See, males hold all of their weight up on their shoulders. Females naturally hold all of their weight down on their hips. Mm-hmm. So that makes balance completely different.
That's true. And that's something I never thought would come up in a in a live chat. But yeah, that's entirely true.
Would that be appropriate for men of a small stature as well, or not?
He's got wide hips, maybe.
If you got wide hips, he'll be able to shoot it no problem.
Oh, so that was made for Night Strike.
Does that count?
What Mohawk boy out there is saying, it's built for ladies or little fellas.
I like that.
You should call it the Night Strike.
There you go.
Everybody out there knows what that means, and it's funny, but you probably won't, Jeremy. Ooh. It's okay.
Now, Guns and Glory out there, Jeremy's talking a little bit about the customer service. What are we looking at as far as the warranty and the relationship between you and the customer? I mean, it sounds like, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said boutique, but, what is that? I mean, if somebody buys a rifle a few months later, a few years down the road, there's a problem or they need this upgraded or, is it just
we can do all of that.
How does that work?
We can do that. And warranty is for life, naturally. And, even myself, where I've had other shops where I've worked at, I still take care of any issues that are going on with those original customers that I had there. The goal here is that, we want to be your manufacturer. We want to be your gunsmith for life. Bring it on up. We'll take care of whatever those issues are. Naturally, there's always issues that do come up. Stuff does happen. We always get them taken care of, and they're taken care of right away. If we have a warranty issue that comes in, everything else stops until that is taken care of and it's done.
So, Battleistic guy out there, remember, he's from Australia now. He says, can they design me an AR pattern rifle that won't land him in jail?
I'm not sure about all of their laws out there, but my understanding is they weren't supposed to have anything out there.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that, I don't know. They might mold you something out of plastic, maybe, or something that looks like one of their rifles. That might work, but that's probably about as close as you're going to get. Armament Access dropping a $2 super chat. He's just got one out of left field here. You gotta forgive him. He gets that way. He said, does anyone here have a pet load for 30-06? I don't think, unless Jeremy reloads, that I'm probably the only one here that would even come close to answering that. But I'll give somebody else a choice if they do.
Well, I know I don't, but I'm sure Jim Majan does.
Well, there you go. So maybe get a hold of Jim, go through the website. I don't know, get a hold of Jim.
Give us a call on Monday. I can get him talking to Jim, and right. It's really too easy.
And as far as me, AA, you got my email. Shoot me an email, and I'll go through and look. But, I've told everybody I load for 40-some-odd calibers. There's no way with all the multiple projectiles and other things that I could, just give you that off the top of my head. But I will certainly go through some books and stuff and kind of give you maybe some starter points. That's not a problem. Seen some talk out here in the chat, Jeremy, and I don't know if it was a question or not. They were talking about MOA. Do you guys have any type of an MOA standard when it comes to your builds?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. We want to do sub MOA naturally, and most of the time we can get them damn near one holes. And of course, it's all depending on rifle caliber, distance, all of that kind of good stuff. But that is our goal: is always sub MOA, always. So, I guess a better question is how tight is sub MOA? My understanding is a quarter is what we want to have every time they go out.
You know, and that's it. It also depends at distance, and there's a lot of other factors I think that come into play. There's a lot of companies now, and I'm talking about, you know, mass production companies that they build a rifle, whatever it might be, whether it's bolt or semi-auto or whatever, they throw it in a box and they, you know, slap this, you know, really tout this MOA, sub-MOA, you know, thing. And then when you get into looking at it, it's like, well, they're talking about at 100 yards, right?
Right.
And I don't know everybody else's experience, but this is mine. I own, I would say, probably more firearms than the average person. And I don't think I have a one, regardless of how much I paid. And I've got some that were, you know, off the shelf at Walmart rifles that at 100 yards will shoot sub MOA.
Right.
You're right in that. I think that the industry has deviated to a point to where, you know, at 100 yards, MOA doesn't really mean much anymore.
You exactly.
know, quarter MOA, like you're talking, you know, putting it in the same hole. Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah, naturally, it all depends on the shooter, too. So the goal is always to get these guns shooting not only better than what we can shoot them, but better than what our customers can shoot.
Right. Right. Now, this one is a weird one in light of some of the political stuff. But do you guys use a 3D printer in any of your parts or things that you
No.
build? No,
we do all, not.
All metal. Yeah.
We have 6 CNCs in there. 5 of them are 4 axis capable. One of them is dedicated 4th axis.
Awesome.
Now, one of the things that we do, not only about material, we'll take my uppers and lowers for my ARs, for example. Those are cut out of 7075 T7 aluminum. Mm-hmm. Hardest aluminum you'll find on the market. We specify which way grain pattern goes on them when we get the billets in. Then we cut from there. Now, our tolerances are give or take between 1 and 2 thousandths per part on everything that we do. It makes them extremely tight. Most manufacturers have a plus or minus 5 or 10 thousandths, and they're usually erring on the minus 10,000 side. That's why you pick up a Colt or a DPMS and you can shake them and rattle them around.
Right.
Makes it easy for manufacturing.
Right. Now, how does that... How does that fare as far as, you know, bringing those tolerances in, as far as the elements and stuff goes? And I would think that you probably are not going to have a $5,000 rifle, you know, in very many elements. But y'all played around with that type of stuff, reliability, I guess, as far as the tolerances are concerned?
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we build them into machine guns. That's the whole point of that, to see what kind of stress that we can put on these. We take them out, and there's plenty of places out here in Colorado where, you know, we've got plenty of sand, things like that, cold. It doesn't matter what it is. We spend a lot of time with those kinds of aspects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The whole goal here is that when a customer calls, we discuss what their build is and what they're looking to gain from it, what their applications are.
Right.
So naturally, you're not taking a $10,000 rifle out to Iraq, for example. It's not going to fare very well, and you're going to be cleaning it more often than not.
Yeah. Well, the government, in all reality, the government is probably paying $10,000 for those rifles, although they're not worth that. I would certainly agree.
Exactly.
We know how the government pays for things sometimes.
Right.
I don't remember who it was out there, but somebody was talking about, and they said, you know, no offense, but, you know, wow, you know, $5,000 on a rifle, so forth, so on. As far as, you know, entry level into something that you guys build, what are we talking about around a minimum MSRP on something?
Minimum, we have, my Jane has just come out, and the Jane is about $1,200 MSRP.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's comparable to a really nice, you know,
Exactly. And we're still keeping those same tolerances on those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's good to hear. I feared you were going to say, like, oh, $3,000.
Well, when someone calls and let's say that they want to basically get your stock, AR or rifle, whatever, it's kind of like the stocked version, no bells and whistles. Do you guys have those in stock, or is everything made to order, or what's the average turnaround from when a customer calls by the time they get it at their FFL?
All depending on which model that they're looking for. Usually between 6 and 8 weeks is our goal on that, but our lower lines, we usually have one or two in stock right there, easy to ship right away. As it sits right now, I have two Janes sitting on the shelf and two Lexis sitting on the shelf, and I would bet by next week those guys are gone, and we'll have two more sitting there ready for them.
I got you. So the higher end stuff is more of a made to order type thing.
Exactly.
What kind of, that begs another question. You talk about, you got to get a couple more to replace those on something like, let's say the Jane, since we're talking about it, what type of production time are you looking at on something like that?
From start to finish, yeah. Production time, give or take, is about 40 hours, give or take.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
and we're talking, yeah. Once it's, as soon as it's put in the machine and cut to being final coated and assembled and test fired.
Right.
So you're talking about one person, let's say it's one person from start to finish on that rifle. It's going to take them a full work week to get that thing produced.
Yeah. And then that's, every part on there, everything across the board. Now, most of that stuff, say my triggers, barrels, all of that stuff, they're already done. They're ready. Most of the receivers are done. So naturally, it doesn't take 40 hours to put together an AR. We're talking maybe an hour tops, get everything assembled, inspected. And there's a lot of inspection processes that go through it from start to finish there, but not very long at all once everything is done.
Now, do you guys, I'm sorry, Clover, I didn't mean to jump in, but if you don't mind. Now, do you guys test these rifles before you send them out or no? I mean, is each individual rifle tested before it goes out?
Yes, it is.
Because that's something that I know that a lot of manufacturers aren't doing anymore to kind of cut fees down. But I think that's an extreme, it cuts costs, but it's also, I would much rather know that a manufacturer is actually testing those before it sends it to the consumer. So I'd rather not they cut that cost out, but it's nice to know that you still do that.
Yes, we do. And in fact, the cases when the rifle is shipped or given to the customer, those spent cases are go along with it.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
Very awesome. And that's added time when because if you test fire, then you got to clean it.
Yep, exactly.
David out there is asking, which, I mean, we covered this, but he's asking, do you have any pre-made, basically, or is everything custom? And you said you do keep the Jane, a few of the Jane, typically, and which was the other one you said?
The Janes and the Lexis.
Okay. Janes and Lexis out there. So, yeah. Now, there was some talking, I don't remember if it was pre-chat or what, but I know there was some talk about some integrally suppressed stuff.
Yes, we do integrally suppressed, pretty much on any caliber that you want to. Of course, those are all custom orders right there. We have one, I believe that was featured in, I'm trying to remember, I think that was Recoil Magazine was featured. It's a 338-06. On a 700 action, intricately suppressed, beautiful. Sounds like a 22 going off on the mountain up there. The rifle is weighing just under seven pounds or 7.5 pounds, somewhere in there. The whole idea on that was that Aaron had asked for a 6-pound 1,000-yard rifle here, and that was the closest we could get on that. Heavy bullet. Lots of powder behind it, and intricately suppressed.
Did you say that was a 338-06?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, very nice.
So naturally, we can do that in any caliber that you're looking for. We can do them off, you know, pretty much any action. If you brought, a Mauser 98, we could do it off of that too. Bighorn, a 7, you know, Remington, it doesn't matter what it is. We can do them all off of everything. Now, the nice thing about that being intricately suppressed like that, that suppressor is a takedown. You can pull it down apart just like you do any of my other suppressors.
Very cool. Very cool. Then I'm guessing that's a fairly proprietary design then that y'all have going on that.
Yes. There's a lot of barrel work involved in that. It's pretty extensive.
Now,
what would be the turnaround time for something like that?
Yeah, give or take about 8 weeks.
Okay, that's really not that bad, actually.
Now, on the integrally suppressed, this is just a general question. I'm going to throw this out there. Nobody in the chat asked, but if there's somebody out there that may not know any better, as far as you take a rifle and then like you said, there's going to be barrel work and stuff that needs to be done, and you integrally suppress that. What is accuracy loss any kind of a concern with that?
No, not at all. And in fact, that was the goal there, is to keep that from happening. So we have, I believe it's a 22-inch barrel on that. And then we've got another 6 inches for the suppressor to be screwed onto. And then there's a sleeve that goes over the whole thing. So you get your full length of barrel on that, and you're not drilling holes or, you know, cutting into the barrel itself. So you're not going to lose anything out of it.
Right. Okay. Very awesome.
Well, that was going to be my question, is what would, obviously there's not any, but my question is, it sounds to me like there would be some sort of modification to the barrels, but it doesn't sound like you're going to do any modifications to them.
No, in fact, what it is they're turned down and turned to fit the sleeve, basically making the rear or the very last baffle almost 20 inches long.
Very cool. Very cool.
Absolutely. Well, with that, it looks like we're up against the top of the hour here already. Wow. So let me grab a couple of links. I'm going to grab the website link first and throw that out there. That is the Phoenix Weaponry website. There it is on the YouTube side. Here it comes on Gun Channels. And I'll grab the Instagram too, because there were some really cool pictures and stuff there. I know that a picture's worth of 1,000 words, so we'll get that out there too. Definitely check them out. And I guess you guys are sounds like you're pretty open to, you know, asking or answering questions. I mean, if people have inquiries on their stuff or what you can and can't do.
Yes.
I guess the phone lines are always open, so to speak, to shoot you an email or whatever. Now, G-Web's out there. We'll follow up on this real quick before we close out here, Jeremy. But G-Web says, what about the name? He's actually from Arizona, and he's saying, what about the name Phoenix? I mean, I guess that's because of the bird, maybe?
Well, exactly. And, as a phoenix, rose from the ashes and became the phoenix. That's exactly what that is. Aaron basically came up, had some issues with these other shops, and he not only has he's risen from those ashes, but became something so much more, so much better.
Yeah, very awesome. So get over there, check out the website and the Instagrams. Let's run this one through the room, kick it through here. Gizzard, we'll start with you. You got anything in closing or plugs to make?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just thanks for the invite. Enjoyed looking over the website and listening to everybody talk. And gizzardgary.com to check out my stuff. That's all I got.
All righty. Ghost, what you got, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for having me tonight. I just want to let everybody know that the new August drill of the month is up on the channel. It's also run Gunstreamer and on Gun Channel. So go check out that. Try to get to the range. Try to take someone new or inexperienced that might be indecisive of whether they like guns or not, and get a firearm safely in their hands, have them pull a couple triggers, and remember how we all felt when that trigger went off the first time. So maybe we can turn some indecisive people into gun people And obviously, we always talk about turn your cameras on. We need as many voices as we can. So if you're interested at all, please become part of the community. Turn your cameras on. Share your voice. And if you need any help, please let us know, because we're here to help you. But thanks for having me, buddy.
Absolutely. And Jeremy, appreciate you taking the time, talking with us, answering questions. It's awesome.
Not a problem.
And
we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Absolutely. And you're welcome back anytime. So, I mean, if you guys get into something new and we'll get out, come on, talk about it, then yeah, just let me know and we'll get you on and we'll do that. Everybody seems to have enjoyed it this evening.
Excellent. I'm glad. Yeah, we'll do that.
With that, guys, I'm going to throw a couple things out there. Obviously, this will go to replay, so if you came in late, you can catch it on a replay, either here on YouTube, GunStreamer, GunTube, HugeTube, all of those good places. We're also on Facebook, Patreon, Instagram, you name it. Any place that CloverTac can be, CloverTac is. So just check all of that out. Moobutt says, did I show up at the end? Yes, sir, you did, unfortunately. But again, like I said, there's replay. It's all good. So go check that stuff out. And again, check out the Phoenix Weaponry website and Instagram. With that, it's Friday. So try to enjoy your weekend. Get out there, spend time with friends, family. Tell those kiddos you love them. Get to the range if you can. Like Ghost said, take a friend. Be safe. Have fun. And we'll catch you next week. Bye.